So I'm beginning a
drill. Recording in progress.
So the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, till almost the end of Sefer Dvarim, it happens to be divided into several segments. The Rashi initially says, the Pishahin Dibre Tokachos, upper right hand corner. Here we have a list of episodes of rebuke. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Tokacha to Klal Yisrael. Umanukan Kalam and Kamo Shechisil of Ne'amokabai. So now Rashi, really to a large extent, and I sort of circled most of these Rashis, that Rashi comments that here we have a primer, P-R-I-M-E-R, essentially a methodology in terms of the nature of Tokacha, how it should be given. And here we have a number of very fascinating statements that Rashi makes. So just by way of Hakdama, as you know, the Haftorah, which is on the second page, of Chazon Yishayo Ben Amot, Asher Chazal Yehuda Yerushalayim, this Haftorah is a rather stinging rebuke of Klal Yisrael. Here you don't really have what you have in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim, everything is Biramizo, as Rashi comments. Everything is done through innuendo, not in the direct kind of way, but you look at the Tzukim in Chazon Yishayo on the second page here, it's fairly clear the Navi is engaged in open rebuke of Klal Yisrael. Banim gidalti v'romanti v'hem poshubi. I raised children who are essentially poshim. Yod asher koneu, asher knows his master, v'chamori muspa alav, Yisrael lo yada. We are completely not cognizant of the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. Goy chotei, a nation of sinners. Am kevod avon, laid down with sin. Zera mireim, banim ashlisim. Very harsh critique of Klal Yisrael in a very open, unreserved, unqualified kind of fashion. Ni atzuas kadosh Yisrael nazaru achar. And then it goes on to indicate that literally the entire Klal Yisrael, the entire nation, mikaf regel adoshim bo mison, petzah v'chaburo makot triya, lozor v'lochubashu baruch ha'vashomen. It's not an area that's not plagued with moon. Arzichem shmona, look what happened to Eretz Yisrael, desolate. Arechem sufodesh, shmona k'nat bechassari. And the next paragraph, which is even more stinging in some respects, what does he call us? Kitzine stone, amamora, compared to stone amamora. And Hashem says, I have no need for your kabanos. And even Birchas Kohanim is mentioned here, famous pasuk Gemara Brachos, ufarischem kapechem malim enam ikem, gam ki tarbu tzvilein nimishomeh, yodeichem domim oleyo, you're full of bloodshed. So we have a rather stinging kind of tochacha. And then the Navi, the second, there are two segments here in this chazon, it requires separate analysis, but then the Navi has a pasuk, which is going to be the subject of our discussion tonight. L'chuna b'nivachicha yom ha'ashem. The word tochacha, Rishonim have a lengthy discussion what the translation of that term is. Simply, we always translate tochacha as rebuke, musa, reproof, admonishing people, castigating them, scolding them. But I heard from my Rabbi, Hagoyim Rav Yochum Gualis Zatzal, that he told me once the word b'nivachicha does not mean that. And he proved it from this pasuk. This is really one of the psukim in Tanakh. What does it mean? L'chuna b'nivacha yom Hashem. First of all, the word tochacha, nivachicha, sounds like the word bikuach is there. Bikuach means a disputation, a dialogue. More than a dialogue, it's really usually a disputation. Like you have bikuchim, people who have arguments, people who have disagreements. So he claimed that the word here, in this context, indicates that the term tochacha means not simply to rebuke and reproof, but rather, as he put it, ibrit zeigen, is the Yiddish, to convince, to persuade someone that their approach, the approaches, the methodologies they're using are not correct. And that's what here, the second segment of the Haftarah, the first segment is as a stinging rebuke, castigating, calling yourself in the most, in the harshest way imaginable. But here in the second, we already see elements of clearly appeasement, elements of an attempt to effect some rapprochement with Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara says in Seita, whatever Musa is given has to be given with a combination. It's a hybrid of small dochek, yom b'kayv. So here we have the small dochek at the very beginning, very outset, midas hadin, and then subsequently midas rachamim. But the nivachcha in the sense of let us talk to each other, let's dialogue, let's counsel with each other, let's reason out the situation. And then we have a psukim that clearly, even the nigin, as we know, the last few psukim reflect actually the fact there's a change in the tone and the cadence of what is happening over here. But going back to the beginning of Dvarim now, so page number one. So here, essentially, this passage Rashi comments, and Rashi has a number of very significant statements regarding Tochacha, which I'll discuss in a moment. But let me just, by way of Hakdama, point out that every year before Tisha B'Av, we read Chazon, Shabbos Chazon, the Navi Yishayahu, and we read, of course, Parshas Dvarim. This is a period not just of Avelos, but a period of national rebuke. Because essentially, the 3 weeks to a large extent are a call to action. We're reminded we have strayed as a nation, and we have been complacent, and we try to reflect on and correct the Avera that caused the destruction of the second Mishamidrash, the Gemara Yuma, primarily Sinas Chinam, the viciousness and the baseless hatred, the way the Netziv describes the Akdama to Sefer Bereishis, a very beautiful Akdama. He lays out this idea. And being able to hear criticism is crucial to the process of Tshuva. The Rambam writes here at the beginning of the Perek Daled, on the first page of Hilchos Tshuva, the one famous Rambam, it's based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah speaks about the Menches Dvarim, Shatov Nikneis, and one of them is Ohei Tochachos. And someone, God forbid, who's a Sonei Tochacha, who is simply opposed to any kind of accepting of any rebuke. So the Rambam writes over here, he writes in Perek Daled, Halacha Beis, number 8, Hasonei Asa Tochacha, Shavei Lanech, Lo Derech Tshuva. That person has closed the door to tshuva. It's a trait that impedes the possibility of tshuva, hatred, or rebuke. Shatochacha goremes tshuva, shebizman shemodil lo adam chatov, when they tell a person about his transgression, umachlimin also, even when they embarrass him, chos de b'tshuva, kama shakos b'tor, zechor b'al tishkach. He gives you a number of examples. Mamri meisim mashem, lo nasan Hashem lochem leib l'das, am nabo b'lo fachom, the end of Dvarim. And the Rambam essentially is quoting Sukkim throughout Sefer Dvarim. And as the whole Sefer Dvarim is a Sefer of Tochacha, as you see clearly from the statements that the Rambam cites here. The Chen Shayo, then the Rambam quotes a second proof, which of course is from the Navi, the after that we read the Shabbos that I just mentioned. Chazom Yishayo ben Amot, so Chiyach has the Sol Yom, Hoi Goy Chote, Yod Asher Koneyu. And he goes on. The Chen Tzivo, Hokeel, Al Chiyach, Al Chatoim, Shinem, Akrob, Gorin, Al Tassof. Again, the Navi. The main function of a Navi is to bring Klal Yisrael back to Tshuva via Tochacha. The Fikach Tzarek Lahamid B'chol Kol B'chol B'Yisrael Chacham Gadol B'Zoki V'Reshamayim Menurav. And the next two words are critical. I circle them. I'll discuss that also with Hashem. That someone's going to give them Tochacha. That's what the function of a Rav to a certain extent is. But any man of Yisrael should be giving Tochacha, but he has to be someone who is Ohu B'Lahem, who's beloved to the Kohen. It's a critical element. That's a Tanai Kohen L'maise. She'i Mokir, that Mokhiach the Rabbi Machzirem B'tshuva. V'zeh she'son yisat tochachos, person who hates rebuke, ain't of other Mokhiach, v'lo shomei advarim, he's not going to listen. V'pikach yamov v'chatosom, she'ein v'ein of tovin, he'll remain rooted in his situation. So, what lies at the heart of rebuke and reproof? So, I heard a number of times some Agoyin of Chaim Shulam Zatzal. The Shmuzin, I think it's also printed, if I'm not mistaken. He pointed out that essentially the idea of Tochacha is about guiding us back to a life of truth. Because in life we can make all types of moral errors and other kind of errors, and those errors can permeate our actions and actually can affect our entire way of life. So the process, and that's what the Rambam here is saying, of going through the experience of reproof, and then Tshuva is a process of returning. You have to come back to the right place. He brings a medrash. I've kind of quoted this medrash. I heard him cited it a number of times. Both of them, the Tzadikim and Bracha, both cited the same medrash. Namely, the medrash talks about when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, so we now rebuke them. The source of this is the Beis Halevi. The most famous Beis Halevi is the Chumash. Namely, that he told them, look how you treated him all those years, and the brothers were in turmoil. And then the Torah goes on to say, right before that, "Vayomer Yosef el Achav, ani Yosef, ha'od avi choy." That's what the Beis Halevi interprets those psukim. Where was your concern for an elderly father? Constantly, you're speaking about an elderly father, frail and infirm, enfeebled, and the like. Where was that concern? And he didn't rebuke his brothers directly. But just by virtue of that statement, your entire approach was one that obviously belied your alleged concern for an elderly father. It's not true. And that's the rebuke is embedded in the language of Ani Yosef HaRavichai. That's what Pesach 11 said in our long shmuz, pointed that out. So therefore, this rebuke is essentially connecting us to the truth. He's pointing out their lives were based on a terrible mistake. When Yosef related his dreams to them many, many years earlier about how they're going to one day bow down before him, so of course they felt mi'uyam, they felt unquestionably threatened. And they thought, I saw Hashem Shofar her, she has interpretation over there. They thought that Yosef would lord over them. Therefore, perceived them as a threat to their family. So what did they do? They had to protect the family. They sold him into slavery in Egypt, separating him from his father, causing untold grief. But when Yosef says, I need Yosef, so clearly what is Yosef showing them? That in effect, once again, he's trying to reconnect them to the truth which they unfortunately were not able to see. And that's exactly what really happens to a large extent during the culmination of the 3 weeks, which is right now around Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazon. And the Shabbos Chazon, the Chazon Yishayo ben Amos, in effect, we have to see after introspection. Chazon means that you have to penetrate. This is a classic of Shem Shofar Hirsch. He points out that you take a look at that Chazon Yishayo, the word Chazon, he claims, this is typical of Shem Shofar Hirsch. He sees in that word Chazon three different meanings. Number one, the word Lachatzos, it's not exactly connected, to divide. Number two, Lachador, it's also the word Chazon. Dalal and Zayin, undergo metaphysis. Lachador means to penetrate. And finally, the word Chazer, referring to the person's chest. If you combine all these three, Chazon signifies penetrating into the heart of a person, examining what lies beneath the surface, undertaking a deep in kind of introspection, so we can figure out what we're going wrong and how can we improve. And that's the whole idea of the, essentially, of the 3 weeks of the three Shavuot. So now going back to the Rashi over here. So Rashi has a number of comments regarding Tochacha. First of all, if you notice all the circles, Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Molsuf, Paran, Teufel, Lavan, Chateros, these are. So Rashi says that it's based on the Medrash. There's no historical basis in what upon which to substantiate the existence of these places. Absolutely none. So what are they, says Rashi, quoting the Medrash? They are veiled allusions to all of the transgressions that Klal Yisrael perpetrated when we were in the Midbar. And Rashi comments that Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rashi, Beremez alludes to all these transgressions rather than mention them explicitly. We should clear them to Yisrael because of the dignity of Klal Yisrael. We can't do it outright directly. Most throughout the earlier sections, we find that Klal Yisrael was castigated in a very direct kind of fashion, as the Navi, in the beginning of Chazon Yishayo, castigates Klal Yisrael without any apologies whatsoever. But here, you don't find that. And those here, it's somewhat different. And the answer, Rashi also asked this kasha. So here again, Rashi comments, why El Kol Yisrael? Rashi quotes a Sifrei that everyone had to be present because Ad Moshe only rebuked some of Kol Yisrael. So Rashi says, those who were not present would have claimed, well, had I been there, I would have quickly defended myself. Your accusations are without foundation. They have no basis. And therefore, it was necessary, says Rashi, for all of Kol Yisrael to be there. This is the second Rashi on the passage, El Kol Yisrael. So it's fascinating. There's another kasha, which of course is very blatant and should be something that is so bold that Medrash actually here interprets all the names of these places. Moshe spoke to Klal Yisrael in allusion to the Cheder Egel and to Yamsuf and on and on and on. Means we have here what happened after leaving Mitzrayim. When you talk about the Meraglim, you have the Cheder Egel, dissatisfaction with the man, the rebellion of Korach. It's all embedded in this language, Rashi says, that the Torah describes. Now, the problem is that these transgressions were not committed by these people. The people here who are standing before Moshe Rabbeinu about to enter Eretz Yisrael. This happened decades ago, eons ago. So the question is, what is Moshe Rabbeinu castigating people for chatoim from an early generation? Rishon Rest Kasha. We understand that an individual, according to the Torah, can be held accountable for averus of his parents. The Gemara says a number of times in Shas. Only Kshayes and Masi Avosem Yadeh. Whereas the steer to Psokin and Gemara's Biyashim, that Shalechsin Maisi Avosem Yadeh, and then if they follow the ways of their forebears, then they're going to be punished for the sins of their parents. But otherwise, if they don't follow their way, They're not going to be held accountable. So what's going on over here? So the answer is that's only true on an individual level. However, for the tzibur, and here we're addressing the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, responsibility for chatoyim for early generations is always borne by Klal Yisrael, even if I have no connection to the misdeeds of my ancestors. That says in Hanban Hilas Tanios, that's a possible. The Rambam is a whole letter. One of the essays of Rambam in the letter, he writes about this as well. This is the sod, a chil between a yochid and a rabbi. A yochid is no question. What I just said earlier is true. A yochid is only held accountable. Ish b'cheto yumas. However, when it comes to the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, that's a separate halacha, because he's part of the corporate entity that defines the nation, is responsible for whatever transgression or atrocities that are perpetrated by the national entity. Now, it doesn't depend upon what individual was involved in this deed or not. That's why we have here a reference to all the chatoim, as I said, that Klal Yisrael committed, even though they were committed decades earlier, and not necessarily relevant to this particular generation. So that's exactly apparently. And another yesod Rashi tells you, which is also famous, there's a striking Rashi. My fellow Shom was always very thunderstruck by this Rashi. It's on the second side. Unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu waits to give him rebuke to when? Till he is literally on his deathbed. And Rashi quotes some Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov also on his deathbed decided then to go ahead and rebuke his sons. Ad kidei kach, where Rashi says something which is so astounding. Oma, Ruben, Bini, Ani Omelecha, Nemalo, Chachicha, Kalashom, Malolu. Why did I give it to Chacha earlier, Ruben? Kidei, Shalom, Rashi says something which is hard for us to believe. You might have gone ahead and Tidbak Ve'esavachi. You might have literally left the fold. How's that possible, my father Shalom Esme? How could that be? That comment needs an enormous amount of elucidation. Ruben was a tzaddik. For the slightest vestige of Ched, he sat in Sako Betaniso and fasted for a long period of time. But rebuke would have given him out of Shifte Kop. My father couldn't understand that. What is going on? That's what Rashi says over here. And Rashi says that that's why Rashi gives a number of reasons why we wait. But unquestionably, there's no doubt that Musar and Miduk and Tachacha can have a devastating effect on a person. Often it can be very negative in nature. And we know that, for example, Sheva Dan, they decided to reject the son of Shlomo Zvaz Dibri. Just happened recently in the Sukkot. And as a result, no one supported him. So he became guilty of literally blasphemy. He blasphemed Hashem Yisbarach. In one split second, he lost the Olam Hazeh, he lost the Olam Haba. He couldn't handle the fall. And we didn't react much better. So Moshe Rabbeinu was later returning from the reception at Mount Har Sinai, the receiving of the Torah, when the sun, the way Rashi quotes, he depicted for them, Moshe Rabbeinu on his deathbed being transported by angels, we simply lost it. And it resulted in the Cheder Egel, the golden calf. So often, it is not so far-fetched to understand that when a person is in a period of adversity, he can be caught off guard, he can be close to the precipice, and rebuke, which is given inappropriately or improperly, could lead to a terrible, terrible plunging into Rahman Lutzan, into an abyss where a person can sometimes not even call Ba'al or Yeshua, where a person won't be able even to return from that kind of situation. So Rashi has not only here, it's given us a number of, I think, very fundamental hints regarding remorse, regarding rebuke. But the most significant one, the Fiyan Yustaiti, is in the language of the Rambam. One cannot give tochacha unless one is giving tochacha mitoch ahava. Unless one is giving in mitoch love, that has to be the foundational element of tochacha. And just to, since people are into, certainly, and I'm also into stories about Gdoli as well, so I'll share with you one that I heard from, I had actually a chassid shrebi when I was a very young man. I was Zalman Siegel, the Chatzal Debracha, when I was in Salanti Yeshiva in sixth grade. He used to draw pictures. He spoke in Yiddish. Everyone spoke in Yiddish. But he would draw pictures. They taught Akein Son of Deer. We were not too interested in Akein Son of Deer, to be quite honest. And he used to draw pictures of Shepselas on the board. And he also would sing. He had all kinds of Nigunim. We used to sing on an ongoing basis. I'm not going to sing the entire thing to you, but anyway, that's what we used to do. We sang most of the time over there. not really learning much of Akenin the other day. I remember my father shop tested me, and Akenin the other day, I was a complete amoros, didn't have a clue what was going on. But I, from this Rebbe, had a massive hashpah in my life. Very massive hashpah. When we speak about Chassidus Gedolei Yisrael, that was about the only connection I had to Chassidus Gedolei Yisrael. Also, is one of the well-known Chassidus Gedolei Yisrael, is the Sasevis, the Ger Rebbe. So he was the second Ger Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not such a mumche in this area, but I think he was the second Ger Rebbe. So he actually, he lived a very difficult life. His mother passed away at a very young age when he was 2 years old. I think his father passed away when he was 8 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And his grandfather, Dusharim, was the one who adopted him. And he became literally a ben bayis by the Dusharim, by his grandfather. And already he was learning Yom Ramadi. It was a tremendous masjid. And he literally learned the entire night. That's what this Rebbe told us. Rav Zalman Siegel, that's how. And he used to wake up early, despite the fact that he learned most of the night. He only slept a few hours. And once he came late to Shachris, so his grandfather, when he came late to Shachris, gave him very, very strong whistle. It was very machbid, machbifus. He said, the son at Slach is the person you get up early in the morning to learn properly. And the Oymeka at Slach is when a person gets up late, doesn't come to davening on time. So his chaver, who saw what was happening, the chavrusa, why don't you tell your grandfather what happened? You were learning all night, one particular night, and you overslept. That's how such things happen, even to Malachi HaShoris. So he said, no. So he asked him, why not? So he said, till I am zeicher to get the chacha from my grandfather, I should be mevater, and that's the chacha. To get the chacha from the Kiddush Harim is considered to be not a small matter, not a small thing. And then he added actually the following. And this is also from actually the parsha in the Dvarim, which I didn't zero actually, but we know that here the Torah describes the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, how when they go to the Reuben, want to remain in every yard, because they had Mikdei Rav, where we just saw in the parshas that we just read of Parshas Matos. So Moshe told them, no, I don't want it, it's not right. And Moshe gave them his initial reaction. I spoke about it last week. His reaction was to Chacha Chavifah, unbelievable. He compared them to Raglin, and he shot them with Chol HaMazeh, trying to destroy Chol Yisrael, and Adu Chol Yisrael, very, very strong to Chacha that he gave them. And so, because of course, the shash was that the rest of Chol Yisrael will join them. And he was worried about that kind of influence, that kind of impact. And the B'nai HaShemotim, they heard the Techacha, and they reacted, no, they had no intention of escaping they're going to be involved in the war effort, they're going to take part. And Nachnu Na'avor Chalutzim L'nei Hashem Eretz Kenan, V'Torah Chazach Na'avor Seinu, Ne'evel HaYadim, we're going to inherit the Eber, we're going to join the war effort, obviously, no problem whatsoever. And then Moshe Rabbeinu sort of calms down, as we described last year, how he comes down from his lofty perch, first initially very strong tochach, and then subsequently it's toned down considerably. And the question, of course, is this: the Sfasemis asks the following question. He asked his grandfather, that's what this Zalman Siegel indicated to us, that Moshe Rabbeinu, why did he come down? Initially, he taxed them with ferocity, with an unbelievable ballistic ferocity. And then suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu, as I said, comes down. And the question is, why? Why does he listen to what they have to say? So the answer is that a person has to know how to be makabel bikurat. A person has to know also how to receive musa, how to accept techacha. Not every day is a person zochet to listen to techacha of Moshe Rabbeinu. A person who's a chacham, as I just said a moment ago, with the Sfas Emes, has to know, getting to chacham from the grandfather, the Kalmah, the Shavim, and the Mishnah, actually, we know, right, in Pirkei Avos, as I mentioned at the beginning, Oyeh Mesavtei Chachos. That's what the Rambam here also cites, Dal Hilchos Tshuva. Because as a result of the Bikoros, the person can come to the Emes. I mentioned earlier, the person can come to the truth. There's no way a person can grow without Bikoros. And that's why we need Chaverim to give us Bikoros, we need Rabbeim to give us Bikoros, we need parents to give us Bikoros. And they say over from one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, I think it's the Rebbe Rashab. The Lubavitcher Rebbe's a great Gedolei Yisrael. So the Rebbe Rashab said that he commented that usually if we have trees that grow in the forest, they grow straight. If you have an Eitzbode, a tree that's growing by itself, a lonely juniper, if you will, it often will grow akum. It's not going to go straight. Why? Because the eighth gina that grows by itself has no one to go and direct it and guide it. They're able to somehow straighten each other out. The Navi says, that's the one you take off. And the sad shame, the person also has to know when to be quiet. So I always tell this to My wife and I speak about this a lot, that undoubtedly parents teach their children to talk and children teach their parents to be quiet. And that's also an important, very important midah. At the midah of shtika, siyog nachma shtika, the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, that the less bikurit we give, the less rebuke we give, the better off we are. And I'm telling you from my own personal experience of being in chinuch 47 years in Rabbanus, unquestionably, we sometimes feel, especially young people, they feel they're going to change the entire world. They're going to effect such massive, revolutionary kind of impact on people on the entire world. And undoubtedly, as a result of that, so we even have a tendency to get involved in our married children's lives. We have what to say. We have what to advise them. We have what to guide them. And even to our shenim, to our neighbors, or to people in the city, et cetera, et cetera. But the older a person gets, people don't like bikurit. People do not like tochacha. Some people even leave different institutions because of tochacha and the like. And therefore, one has to be exceptionally careful regarding this tochacha. So even though it's true that one should be annoyed tochacha, but it's important not to know when to get tochacha and when not to get tochacha. And this thing that the pasuk, I have it over here as well, on the left-hand column, hochiach tochiach es amisecha. And yet, we know Chazal, the Gemara says, I didn't say it earlier, it's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, you see someone doing something inappropriate, you give it to Chacha. The Gemara calls this pasuk, Shenema, Hochiach Tochiach es amisecha. What about the give to Chacha? It's not the Kabel. And you know, she give him again. Tochiach, double Oshin, Mikol Mikol. The Gemara says, Mea Pomin. Over here, take a look at the Rambam here. The Rambam has this idea, this notion. The one I read was in Perek Dal Hilchos Teshuva. Now take a look at the one Hilchos Teshuva directly below. In Perek Vav, the Rambam says that for Halacha Zayin, Aroch Chaver Shechato Shalach Meder Chotov and Mitzvah Nachzir Nuhuto Vodaldir Shulchote Alas Motimasa Vorayim Shenem Ochiyah Tadir Asam Yisecha. Go that person. How should you do it? Privately. Be a double of binachas. How should it be done softly? Why am I telling this to you? For your good. I'm not doing it for myself. If he accepts it, fine. That's even mere public, what I mentioned a moment ago. I'm talking about that in a moment. But there are two separate dinah, the two separate halachas. But anyway, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu decide here at the beginning of Aram to the Olam are you parried other Mechaber and Yitzhak Dvar Halachas? Yitzhak Dvar Halachas is a way to the Gemara. Moshe is nitvad, Mitzhak Dibre Teichocha. Moshe separates, or he decides to more or less the Pafum Kal Yisrael using Dibre Teichocha. But again, as I said, Moshe Rabbeinu, the problem with Teichocha is not always necessarily with the individual who is the Mekabel. Often it can be with the Mochiach, that it's not given properly. And therefore, one has to be exceptionally careful. And I can tell you many, many stories about that, but I'm not going to, even though probably won't boil your tears, but actually will maybe make you happy. But there are many, many mice that I have actually in my arsenal about this issue, about giving tochach, et cetera, et cetera. And the Gemara says in Yavam is famous Gemara. Kishem shemitzalad noma davar sheishama, kach mitzalad shelo noma davar sheishama. It's not going to be heard. You know, you're going to meet resistance and you're going to meet antagonism. Then the Gemara says you shouldn't do it. Then tochacha should not be given. And so there are many such stories. I actually jotted down for myself one or two just to share with you regarding that issue. But more or less, more of the issue is really how to give tochacha as opposed to the act of giving tochacha. There's no question that tochacha should be given. They say over from this story I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, one of his true rishis. He said over from, he says stories from Brisk. A lot of stories he tells after Brisk are those who inhabit the positions in Brisk. But I'm sure that this kid, the Brisk of, the Rabbi Brisk, another kid came to Shalom. There's actually a beautiful biography of him. If you have a lot of time here, it's called Asar of Mibris. It was given fire. He was like a ball of fire, shot beyond belief. And there's a Tamil Chacham Mufar that decided that Meirom Yerushalayim, he should not speak to his wife. Yeah. Excellent. It's in English. It's a very good sefer. The reason why I like that sefer, an editorial comment, because I always was worried about what's the machlokes Ram Ramban regarding Ishur Eretz Yisrael. Why don't we pass king in Shiloh? So he issues a psak over there and the sefer I saw him be bris. The only place I saw, because he'll say it's machlokes of Ishur, who's the Ramban? The Ramban. Isn't the chavis a good? Obviously, your chaver Alan assumes it's poshut. That's like the Ramban. In Mokum Stapik. It's not so poshut at all. Whatever the case is, he issues a psak over there. Seems to be also in that direction, as Mishnah Lichvut Shlita has indicated. Anyway, so the Maril, this game confronted the following issue. One of his talmidim, a Tom Chacham apparently, who had such a mind, he stopped talking to his wife because he was afraid maybe Rav Yashamayim, I wouldn't speak to my wife properly, etc., etc. And so she realized her husband stopped talking to her, which happens to be so much you come to the positive chumash. Sherek susav einasa leigo einasa means spend time with your wife. I mentioned it already a few times. Walk with your wife, talk with your wife. That's what Hassan used to come. That's the truth of Shabbat. Anyway, this guy, Meirov Yira, decided now he's no longer engaging in that. And therefore, she told her mother, mother's in terrible sorrow for her daughter. They both of them finally went to the Bristol Hall. They went to Mariel to see them shortly to discuss it with him and to complain about this outbreak and this Andorra. So one Shabbos, it's happening. The Mariel Diskin called for this outbreak to go and see him. And he was already frightened because it's well known that when the Mariel Diskin called someone, it wasn't. To go ahead and share with him Shivayim from the Kugel. That was not the interest. And so he knew that it was already Inyan Bahu Baud, Tochim Rabim, or Tochacham. And therefore, he quickly obviously went to the house of the Mariel Diskin and Ra'odot Techezum. He was seized with a tremendous amount of fear. So, anyway, the first thing he comes to the Mariel Diskin and he says, Rebbe, good Shabbos. Which is the good Shabbos? And the Rebbe doesn't respond. He completely ignores the good Shabbos of this Talmud Chacham, and he just washes his hands and washed his hands and made a bracha, the bakos, and then he makes the tashadayim, and then he goes and makes samotzi on the bread, and then the avreich is waiting, he's standing there, trembling, mamish, sittling, as they say, and then he finishes the meal, and then he goes wash my machalim, and he goes ahead and says, samotzi. The Rav told the story for half hour. Only he could tell the story for half hour. And then, and then he's counting. The way he benched, counting Bargolios, and on, and he finishes, and he continues to learn. So the Avrech, who's standing there for at least half hour, maybe longer, he says, good Shabbos, did the Rebbe call me? Did the Rebbe call me to speak to me? And he's trembling, no response. And after a number of minutes, Mariel Diskin says, get ahead, you can go. That was the whole conversation, get ahead. So he's shocked beyond belief. And then he thinks about it and he realizes that's the techacha that was being given to him by the Mariel Diskin. Mishnikastan. I was told he told over this story. But I'm very good myself. I bris to myself. Anyway, so he became a different person as a result of that. So one does not always have to give techacha. They say over. I didn't hear this myself from my grandmother, but I heard it from someone who tells. And there was an Avrech who tells a big masmid, and so he didn't help his wife to fall, take out the garbage, I didn't have all kinds of things that had to be done. He was not available because he was on London, he was a masmid, didn't have time for anything. So apparently his wife, she complained to Hashira to Abgifta. So the next morning, Abgifta showed up, and Avrech was still in the house, and he said, what's he doing in the Hashira? He said, I came to take out the garbage. He said, someone's got to take out the garbage to help your wife, I came to do it. So Fashad, and he understood now also. A similar kind of story. So, that's exactly what Rashi is saying. That's exactly what Rashi here in Dvarim is saying. That often one should give to a chacha, better to give it b'remiza than doing it any other way. Someone told me, Rabbi Gedak, Menachem Gedak Shlita was a master Talmud Chacham, the head of the OU, and a tremendous magid shir. So he told over from his uncle, Rabbi Ganachovsky, the name is Ganachovsky, but it was shortened to Gedak. There's also a Nagan in the and another yeshiva, each one changed their name in a different kind of way. You probably know him. Anyway, so he's a dealer also. So the whole family will be doing. The only question is who's the biggest dealer? So his uncle, Avraham Ganachovsky, who was another Gogumari, so that he said over about a certain canal of the Choshev Yeshiva that he went in the summertime, he used to walk around with a straw hat on his head. He was a very, very well known yeshiva. Now, I tell you honestly, I don't see any problem with the straw hat. I'm going to have celebrations, that's how I walk with the straw hat. My rabbi walk with straw hats. I remember at the chasana, my chasana, Rabbi Lichtenstein came with yellow shirt. I thought he looked very good. Sometimes it was a nice straw hat that he wore actually at the chasana. And then I remember also that there was a conversation. There were several devotees still there. They asked the question. Nobody could answer it. So first of all, I turned to Rav Herschel Schefter, Yabab Al Chaim, and said, Herschel, answer the question. So he right away answered the question. Must have, how long was he in this? I don't know, 30s, who knows what? And he answered the question. But the devotees, I don't want to mention which devotees. So they're talking about some very big ones. And then Rav Lichtenstein completely the matter. So I remember one of the devotees still said, what is this? Del mitazar hippo. He said, with that kind of a yellow hat, he's saying over. He said, oh, he's going to for 45 minutes at the spot in Yiddish. In Yiddish, then he's talking to them. But they couldn't believe it. I said, what's the rest of the story? I don't see any stereo whatsoever. Anyway, the Chazanish was bothered by this guy who probably wore, I don't know if it's a yellow straw hat, he wore a straw hat. So the Chazanish decided that I got to tell this guy, it's not a comedy for him, sort of his stature, to wear a straw hat. Etc. Etc. He didn't want to give him to Chacha directly. So he told him the following. This is what the Rabbi Nack Shlita told me, the name of his uncle, Avram Gadachowski. He said, I'm a Shaila. The Gemara says that Hashem, that, you know, Avram is a Zikim, Avram Hashem, Avram Ha'ele, Maz Machuz Avram Shmuel. So, but Hashem, let's say, what's the name of Hashem? The name of the Yitzvah Shusav Avram. So Hashem Shusav is part of the Mesa, part of the Zikim. That's the Gemara said, Dark of the Kach, Shekin Keren, which is one of the four. That's called Meshunah. Beginning of the first part of Bava Kama. So there's a question. What's the din of a person, said the Chazanish to this Abre, of a person who's walking with Shusram with a straw hat on his head? So the question is, what is his status? And now if an A is a goat comes and eats that straw hat, he's attracted to come out that straw hat and eats that straw hat, Mitzadeh, what you could say, Urcha, Darko Shalei Zachol Kash. That's what the A's does. The A's actually eats cash. What's Meshunadik? That an Avrei Tavachem of your stature should walk with Kedma Kash. So is the Bala A's high of Shon? So that was enough. And already he took off his straw hat because it's still the Chazanish was at. And all this is embedded in Rashi. That's what Rashi is saying, that Tachoch has to be given not in a direct kind of way, but Tachoch has to give Berebisa. But the most important element, which I told you earlier, which is clearly found embedded in that Rambam, I mentioned a moment ago, that the one who gives Techocha has to be a Techocha based on Ahava. It has to be completely based on, I think I mentioned once before what I heard from Adrani Rakam, that's how he said, you want to be a Kanoi? You had better be 1,000% Oyev Yisrael. If you have one Nidnud of no Ahava, you can't be a Kanoi, you're possible. So Pinchas had that Kanoi, apparently, because he was a and here, Moshe Rabbeinu also, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, the way I saw this actually in the Shulchan Aruch, my father Shlomo was very into that sefer. We still learn that sefer among the many sefer we saw was the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch has to come at the beginning here in the Pasuk of Ela Azmar Moshe Dibre Moshe Al Kol Yisrael. So here's how he explains the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Musar, a bit later it says, I'm the side of talking, but it's part of the Perek Alam over here. So what does that mean? Hablachem Anoshim Chacham and Doron be doing? It's based on the pasuk in Mishlei. As it says, Al Tochach Letz Ben Yisraelka, Ochach Lechocha Be'Yodeka. The simple chat is, don't give Tochach to a Letz. A Letz is a scorner, a scoffer, a mocker. Someone who's going to treat whatever you say with derision, with ridicule, with scorn. He's not going to listen to you. Don't give Tochach to a Letz Ben Yisraelka. Give Tochach to a Chacham, and he'll love you. The Shlaka interprets it differently. No. He says, the chat is, you want to give Tochach to someone. So, Al tochach leletz. Don't say you let's. Don't speak to the zilzel. You person, you have no value. You have no worth. Axiologically, you have no value whatsoever. No, tell the person you're a chacham. You're such a wise person. You're such a smart guy. You're such a put together guy. And you just fix this little area, and you'll be even smarter. No, al tochach leletz by calling him a letz. Ben Yisraelka, go a chacham. They are better. He'll love you. Basically, the assad is in order that the tochach should be able to have the proper kind of impact. And the proper kind of effect, it has to be done, mitoch ahava, it has to be done. And that's what the Rambam actually indicates over here, b'nachas b'loshen raka, oh, you have to be oh, about a kol in order to be able to give techocha. I saw in one of the svarim, I'm very into Hagoyin Davari Levin. I'm very friendly with his grandson, Benji Levin. Shashem Yarach Yama Mishnaisa. He's an unbelievable There's an Arnav, he's actually came to Rabbi, he was married to Father Shul a number of years ago, in that area in Yerushalayim, was on Shabbos. So they lived in Arnav, and Arnav, so he became very friendly with him the last number of years, last 20 years basically. So he told over a Maisa with his grandfather, Abai Levine, that he was always, as you can imagine, trying to be desirous, those people who were open on Shabbos, not to open on Shabbos, to close on Shabbos. So one of Shabbos, it was a very hot summer, he comes to a chanuk that sells glida, that's selling ice cream. And that was a perfect day to sell ice cream, a nice hot day. And so there's a long line of people snaking out the store. Mamash, look, I was going to go until 11, 12 o'clock at night without difficulty. So he didn't know what to do. So Avariah, he began to think for himself. He said, listen, I understand the Baal HaChanus. Look at all the potential kainim he has out there, the potential customers there. Obviously, would I be able to be able to sell them? No, I wouldn't be able to be in the same life if I were the Baal HaChanut, if I were the owner of this makolot, whatever it is. But on the other hand, hey, look at Shabbos. What am I going to do with the hey, look at Shabbos? I got to do something. So he entered this store, he entered the chanut, and he put his shaymel down on the chair and sat down. So right away, the Baal HaChanut sees him. Everyone knew who Rabbi was. All Yerushalayim knew exactly who Rabbi Levin was. He looks at him and he goes over to him. And Avari says to him, listen, what can I say to you? I know you have a gewaltige nisayon. There's no greater nisayon than the one you're facing right now. Of a Shabbos, hey, look at Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. What's Kenetov? Hey, look at Shabbos. He didn't say a word after that. Got up, put on his shtreimel, left the chanut. A few moments later, people saw the entire crowd simply, they split, as someone told me here. Split. Split means to leave. I looked up that word also to find it, but that's also one of these B2M slang, etc. And the reason why I said I speak Hebrew, because Hebrew consists of, as I mentioned many times, 50% Mimun Aziyot, 30% slang, and 20% Hebrew. That's why I speak Hebrew, because just most of the slang or Mimun Aziyot, the vernacular words, etc. So what do we see? So the Baal HaChanut then made them a few days later, and he calls the chanuk before Shabbos. He said, just your very presence and the way you behave, it hit me literally deep in the recesses of my heart. I saw you have the ke'ev of Shabbos, that you have such a feel for Shabbos. I said, how can I be mitzayir such a Jew? And I'm in Bibin Yisrael. So Rabbi, I told him back, you're much greater than I am. I've been your master. I would not be able to be in Yisrael. I will continue selling the ice cream because it's money in my pocket. So this is, I just want to mention, I didn't realize, of course, as usual. But anyway, let me just say one last result, okay, which I think is a very important result. There's another very fascinating issue here which needs a lot of attention, and that is, you look at the Rambam carefully, the Rambam quotes in this, he quotes at the end of it, that the last two lines, Gemara and Shabbos. If you are in a position of being mocha and you are not mocha, the nifas gavon elu kem she'efshel olim chosmeh. But this is the din on tafei shres. It's not to us. I thought I was going to discuss this for a good half hour. This is the din that Mar has in Yuma. Look at the bottom of the page, of page one. Women who eat all the way to Hashaykh. There's a, as you know, din on tafei Yom Kippur. By the way, somebody asked me this week, one of the wonderful members of the Beis Tfilah, is the din of tafei by Tisha B'Av. Mar Hogan's Rosh Hashanah. Titus, when the dinner is by Tisha B'Av. Yeah, we assume no. Titus only applies to a day that has a dusayom, has an inherent sanctity. Yom Kippur has an inherent sanctity, the dinner of Tesevis, undoubtedly, Tesevis is Machlokes in the Gemara. Machlokes Tanoim, Machlokes Rishayim, and Rampas, the only Tesevis that exists is by Yom Kippur. The only Tesevis that exists is Tesevis of Inui. So here the women who are eating and drinking, and they don't know, it's a lesson in the Chalak Kedesh. It says the Machabe in the Machin B'Yodam. Because we don't have to do a mezzi, it says the Ramah. This needs attention, this concept. Better they should do b'shogei than do b'mezit. But only b'sam b'furish in the Torah. But if the furish in the Torah, must be on them. Here you see that ain't dvar b'shloim, lo yom ha'bram lo chicha d'ak pamachas. Only tell them one time, they're not listening, and b'lo yabim tochachas. But the yochim, chayim v'hal chicha she'akem v'ashekal lehu. So there's a lot of discussion in Mishabur the Be'alot on page number two. And in general, this is a very famous issue. It's Masha from the Rambam Tzvei. There are two separate laws. There's one din called the Gemara Shabbos. If you see a Jew doing something which is inappropriate, you have to give him to a father. If you're not Mecha, Nitfas by Sova. That's based on what? Kodesh Rabbim, Zelazah. We're responsible for each other. We're guarantors for each other. But there's a separate thing. A techora. A chetachir as a misera. And these two never the twain shall be. They are two totally separate dinim. It's possible that even there's no aribus, for example. Why is there no aribus? Because you see, a guy's not listening to you. The Gemara Yavamas, I quoted earlier. Kishem shemitza adam lan medamash yishama. Kach nisa shalom adam lo yishama. So the dinim aribus, if the guy's going to react to you, and it'll just engender hatred and hostility and venom, and who knows what? It's not a lot, but it could very well be. There's still a dinner to Kocha. And they are putting the mashma. So that needs libun. These two different concepts, which I can't unfortunately do now, maybe at another shir of Achayat. But when you see from Hakol Yossi de Barreno, that number one, the Kocha has to be given with major, major care. The idea of Kocha is Ibitzagin, to somehow convince the person that what he's doing is not ugly, not ideal, not appropriate, to do a misa, to do a biyava, to do it in a way where hopefully the tachacha, it will be given to a person as a tachacha, and not given the way it will be given to a letzah, as a shalom, a chalom, a son, and halavai, we should be able to use a tachacha, and call yourself, should miss Hashem. Come back to the dark Hashem completely, and there's no question that if we do it in a proper kind of way, we can do the kind of achidim yourself, but it's on the tzachim, amen.